Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEVGamesAU.
My name is Evie, and I'm spending my last week in studio on my own. That's right. Next week, 4ZZZ are allowing us to have one other person in the studio. Just one, and that's all I need for company. So I'm very excited to pick out of two of the co-hosts that I have which one gets the luxury of sitting in here and listening to me. Yes. Caitlin, Rani, make up your minds, because I'll just randomly pull a name out of the hat. Not that there's many names pulled out of a hat. But anyway, yes, next week we will officially be lifting some of the restrictions. We are not going full crazy here at 4ZZZ because we still want to consider our most vulnerable volunteers, which is completely understandable. So we're taking it easy. We're still using lots of Glen 20 and hand wipes, and obviously everyone is doing the best that they can to be clean and hygienic, which is greatly appreciated. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm very excited. It's also now winter, and I'm cold. I was cold for most of May. May? Was that last month? I don't even know what's happening. But yes, May. I was very cold for most of May as well. And now I'm beyond cold. What's freezing? There we go. God, so good. Thesaurus, that's what I am. Yeah, I'm freezing. And the studio's extra cold. Air conditioning is blasting. Got to keep all this expensive, shiny equipment in here nice and cool. Yeah, well, Zed Games. Well, I should probably tell you what's going to happen, shouldn't I? Yes. All right. We're going to be talking about the week in gaming news. And it's been an interesting week, so hang in there for that. Afterwards, we then have a special segment that I have pre-recorded before coming in today, and it's called A Brief History of Atari. We're going to look a little bit at what Atari were up to and how they became so successful and what was their downfall. So stick around for an interesting segment on Atari. After that, we have a review from Meg, Jack, and Jason down from down in Melbourne from New Game Plus on a game called Ori and the Will of the Wisps. It is a critically acclaimed video game, and I'm excited to hear what they've got to say, so that'll be later in the show. But before we get into that, and before we get into the news, I'd just like to say a thank you to anyone who'd applied to be a co-host on the show. Applications have closed. There's a lot of people that we've been looking forward to chatting to, and you should be hearing some new voices over the next month, because we will be having new people join our little Zed Games community and expanding on our tiny family to help with produce some great and amazing news and reviews. So the content was only going to get better from here. But yeah, on that note, let's dive straight into the week in gaming news. This week in gaming news, Sony's PlayStation 5 tech specs and all the details. The next generation console will be arriving later this year, which is generating a lot of hype. However, there have been many unanswered questions from Sony. Finally, however, Sony have officially revealed what is going on under the hood of the PlayStation 5. With a new custom audio chip designed to process audio and 3D audio, 5 Epic Games on launch, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Godfall, Outriders, Fortnite and Destiny 2, also a little hint there may be Horizon Zero Dawn, but nothing is confirmed. Sony are also promising no loading screens and virtually no time wasted waiting for games to install. The PS5 is going to be backwards compatible with PlayStation 4 games and also contains an 8-core cell CPU, which cost almost $400 million to develop. It supports 8K resolution, PSVR, and the controller may actually have an inbuilt microphone feature. There are also so many more details on the specifications for this next-gen console. If you'd like to check it out, head to the Zed Games Facebook page for all the details at ZEDGamesAU. Speaking of the PlayStation 5, Sony will be talking at the Summer Games Fest that will be hosted online on the 4th of June. There will be loads of other games companies showcasing their works, as well as big announcements. The Summer Games Fest has been running since May and will end in August this year, featuring Cyberpunk 2077, World of Warcraft, EA Play, Marvel's Avengers, and a developer showcase looking at indie developments. There's also GameSpot's Play For All event, which started at the beginning of June and is a multi-week event showing news, previews, interviews, and lots more. This event will be raising money for the COVID-19 relief efforts and is in partnership with Direct Relief. Some of the publishers attending are CD Projekt Red, EA, Bethesda, Deep Silver, Devolver Digital, Google Stadia, Square Enix, Sega, and many, many more. They currently have daily streams, which you can check out on the GameSpot website at gamespot.com.au, or you can head to the Zed Games Facebook page for the link to both Summer Games Fest and Play For All events at ZEDGamesAU. Ryan Simply Reeves, a well-known speedrunner for Super Mario 64 from Minnesota, USA, has broken the speedrun world record. After nearly 8 years of trying and trying again, Ryan has done it with an incredible time of 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 28 seconds. The previous record was 1 hour, 38 minutes, and 43 seconds, shaving off 15 seconds from the previous time. The special moment was captured on Twitch TV from Ryan's stream, and after trying for almost 6 hours that day, he finally had his moment. Once he broke the record, Ryan burst into tears of joy. His mother came into the room asking if he was okay, and he tells her that he finally did it and broke the world record. Both of them were overjoyed and began to hug. Ryan's mom then insists that he's probably dehydrated and needs a drink of water. Ryan's mum says, "He's always been number one in my heart." And Ryan also says, "I have the best family and the best community. I am blessed. Thank you, everyone." That's all this week in gaming news.
Aw, what a like wholesome story there at the end with Ryan and his mum successfully defeating the old record and now have a new world record for speedrunning of Super Mario 64. Congratulations, Simply, Ryan Simply. That's fantastic, and that's very sweet of his mum. If you'd like to take a look at the video of that, you can simply type in Ryan Simply Reeves breaks world record into YouTube. You will find it, guaranteed. Very sweet. Yeah, it's been an interesting week in gaming news, and there's lots of events, lots of things going on. Some of the interesting things, like there's plenty of online gaming festivals and showcases available, and the Summer Games Fest, and then there's also the Play For All. That's fantastic. Those links will be posted. They should be posted now, actually, on the Zed Games Facebook page. Yeah, so Summer Games Fest is looking pretty good. It's the same people that created the Game Awards, and it's hosting a series of digital events throughout summer. So this has been going since May and runs all the way through until August. So be sure to head over there and take a look. You can actually watch the Summer Games Fest also on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, I believe. Some of the accounts will be on there. And including, like, especially with Sony, because Sony PlayStation 5, all the tech and specs has come out about that. So there's plenty happening on that front. Sony PlayStation 5 will be talking at the Summer Games Fest, which you can check out on the schedule when you go to the Zed Games Facebook link. But yeah, they'll be providing a first look into the games you'll be playing for the PS5 that launches in the holidays. And they'll be there. The digital show will just be over an hour long, so it should be an hour of everything Sony. Probably, I'd say it's mostly focused on the PlayStation 5 release. What's happening there? You can watch it on Twitch and on YouTube as well. There's heaps of other events. Guerrilla Collective, the PC Gaming Show, and the Future Games Show are also being broadcast throughout June. I believe that Guerrilla Collective goes live on Saturday, which may actually be Sunday our time. So there are some things to switch over there. Yeah, wow, heaps happening. Also, Cyberpunk 2077 will also be featured as well with a digital broadcast. They haven't actually arranged on what platform you'll be watching that yet. It could be Twitch, could be YouTube, not sure. But that will be June 11th, which probably be June 12 in Australia. So yeah, keep that in mind. I've stayed up late for things and then realized I was either a day late or a day early. I don't know time zones. They get very confusing. And I've been in both directions around the globe. That sounds really weird. I've gone left. Wait, no. I've gone east and west. There we go. Now I know what we're talking from Brisbane. And I get very... Yeah, jet lag is not helpful because then I'm not sure when I'm calling people and it's very confusing. And most of the stuff when it comes to the games industry, especially AAA games industry, they always work on American time. Not even Europe time, just you know. And then it's West Coast or East Coast. And it's just, it's all too much. But if you go to Zed Games Facebook page at ZEDGamesAU, you will be able to see a link there. And you should be able to see Australian Eastern Standard Times as well in terms of when you can check out what developer, what producer is on and what games they'll be talking about. Yeah, interesting week in gaming news. Lots happening. Lots of events to attend safely. Which is fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone goes with keeping their hands clean and keeping their hands off of other people and sneezing on other people, because we're slowly relaxing a little bit more with the restrictions, and that means that hopefully we can have some more gaming events. Maybe we can go out to friends' houses. Maybe we can do all sorts of things gaming related. I mean, rugby's back. Surely esports can come back. That's my logic. Well, we are now about to transition into a very cool segment. I say very cool, like, because I recorded the segment, but it's called A Brief History of Atari. And when I was studying at uni, we did a little bit of research into some of the industry disruptors of a past for the gaming industry, and I was really fascinated with Atari and how it all began. So I think we should have a listen to some of my findings. Hey! So today I'm going to be talking about the beginning of the gaming revolution that was all started by Atari. So this is going to be a brief history of Atari. And Atari was one of the first games companies and took the world by storm during the late 70s. So let's get into some history of this awesome company and learn about how they impacted the world as they did and the lasting effect they had on their audience. So let's start by looking at the technology they used. Atari used microprocessor-based hardware, and games were stored on ROM cartridges for the Atari 2600. Arcades used mini computers. Nolan Bushnell, the co-founder of Atari, waited until computer technology was developed enough that he could actually finance and build the very first arcade. At the time, this was industry-disruptive technology, small enough to bring games into homes and the beginning of the arcade revolution. This revolution brought the first arcade games such as Computer Science, Pong, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, and Tron, just to name a few. Socially, more people were spending quarters at arcades in the 1980s than ever, with 86% of 13 to 20-year-olds having played an arcade game. Arcades had become the latest fad in the US. People were more likely to spend time at arcades than they were in bars. In homes, consoles like the Atari 2600 drastically changed the way modern families viewed the television, turning the TV into an active medium from a passive one. This wasn't just a social thing for families, but also a huge cultural shift. Culturally, this was also the birthplace of the very first video game competition, now known as esports, the very first being Space Invaders.
Video games at the time were also taking inspiration from pop culture films such as E.T., Star Wars, and Back to the Future. In 1982, people were spending more money on games than any other form of entertainment. Games in 1982 had a gross revenue of $8 billion, which was more than pop music and Hollywood film industry combined for that year. Atari was at the forefront of this revolution, being the leading games design company at the time, and the first to do so despite much competition surfacing during that same period, such as Sega and Nintendo. Atari was the first to invent the job position of game designer and games programmer, as well as the first to develop hardware and software specifically for games. Atari and many other companies focused their marketing towards the bar scene ages between 21 and 28, however also targeting younger audiences with home consoles between the ages of 13 and 18. They also considered tailoring that advertising to consider parental approval, so marketing at the time for home consoles showed things like a television with a parent and child playing together with a caption that says things like, "Sears Video Arcade Cartridge System will turn your TV set into a family game center." Arcades and console games came onto the scene in a big way and left almost as dramatically. In 1980, Atari were making record-breaking sales, and not 3 years later, the market became oversaturated and crumbled beneath its own weight. Over time, console games made a comeback. In the beginning, Atari's arcades and console games were received joyously, and during that time, the phrase geek was coined. Gaming enthusiasts and alike fell in love with gaming and devoted much individual time to be the best or the most knowledgeable. Like music and film, audience approval of individual games dictated a lot of the market. E.T. was considered to be the worst video game of all time, and some have gone so far to claim that this was the reason for the 1983 video game crash. This game, E.T., was created and developed in 3 weeks to hit the Christmas market. Unfortunately, the game was received so poorly and has now been used as an example among gaming companies of what can go wrong with rushed game development. This is one example of audience reactions playing a major role in a game's success. However, this was a trend for the time, which was to make games influenced by film and television. It was a consumer demand, and because E.T. was directed by Steven Spielberg and was a huge box office hit, it made sense that the game would soon follow. Audiences today still have a huge impact on what games are developed and what type of content games companies produce. An example of this would be Marvel's Avengers or Spider-Man video games. Not long after the 1983 video games crash, Atari lost millions, and ultimately was the end of the company. However, it's thanks to Atari that we now have game design and video game programming as a creative medium that people can use to express their creative freedoms. Atari was one of the first games companies of its time, and challenged everyone who played to create an escape into a new medium. It shared the future of games and how we interact with technology still to this day. I'm sure many childhoods out there would not have been the same if it weren't for this company influencing lives all around the world. Well, there you have it. Brief history there of Atari and the beginning of the games revolution. I found it interesting there when I was talking, when I was doing some research for this, that back when the games industry actually made $8 billion in a year. I mean, we're looking at an industry now that's making $180 billion a year. So much for it being just a fad, I suppose. I mean, it did crash, so look, it didn't do well for a second there. But then Nintendo and Sega came in for the rescue, and Nintendo have been around for a very long time. I believe that they into some capacity back in Japan, they've been around longer than Atari, so we can look at that another time. But yeah, fantastic, interesting. I love the history of games, and I'm sure any of you retro gamers out there would have appreciated hearing about the Atari 2600. We are now about to head into a review of Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which was reviewed by Meg, Jack, and Jason from New Game Plus. So let's have a listen to their experience of this awesome little indie game.
Well, Look, I know it was a few years ago now since Ori and the Blind Forest was released, but I've only just recovered from ugly crying from the incredibly emotional experience that the award-winning release delivered. I'll never forget that soulful journey that the game took me on, and The Will of the Wisps does not disappoint. The 2D puzzle adventure game, created by first-party developers Moon Studios and published by Microsoft, it's clear for the team that the desire to create a sequel wasn't just about expanding Ori's fantastical world and telling a new story. It was also about improving their craft. Like, how could they make this even better? Will of the Wisps is a direct sequel that was announced over 2 years ago at E3 2017. And currently available on Xbox Game Pass and Steam, we're taken back to Nibel Forest in Nyuan and play as the lovable protagonist Ori, the White Guardian Spirit. Get ready to embark on an all-new adventure where you'll encounter enemies and navigate challenging puzzles, and I do mean challenging, on your quest to unravel Ori's true destiny. I really don't want to spoil the story too much, because isn't that one of the best parts? You know, if you're like me, being naturally talented at 2D platforming games just it does not come naturally to you, or perhaps you missed the first game, Ori and the Blind Forest, and firstly, go back and play the first one, but never fear. There are difficulty settings for normies and hardcore achievement-hunting perfectionists. In fact, the further you get into Will of the Wisps, the more rage-inducing it gets. Definitely a lot of moments for me where I had to pull the controller down to play, and especially those boss fights, man. Essentially, Ori can jump, climb to new heights, and use other abilities to navigate throughout the incredibly diverse, twisty and turny forest. You basically start with nothing and gradually gain skills as you explore and gain up to 12 abilities, three of which can be equipped at once. Jumping accurately and climbing at precise times is absolutely critical, and I'm constantly reminded about how bad at jumping I am. Will of the Wisps also adds things like spirit trials and combat shrines. Spirit trials have you race other players competing for a spot on the leaderboards. Combat shrines spawn waves of enemies that you must survive. Also, this time around, not everything in the game is trying to hurt you. Along the way, you'll meet characters that constantly give you side quests. Ori and the Will of the Wisps offers more variety to the map, the foes, the friends, and the bosses. There's also more complexity to its mechanics. Keystones, life orbs, and energy orbs are back again. Restore Ori's life and energy when you undoubtedly die 1,000 deaths and take damage throughout your journey. The godlike music is almost spiritual for all the feels, and the sound effects as you jump on different textured surfaces are super immersive. Even the lightning and thunder is mind-blowing. The noticeable differences from the first game are, first and foremost, despite being a 2D game, the character models are actually 3D this time around. This allowed the designers to create a greater array of movement in the animations, which was really important with it was clear the new focus was fast-paced combat. The environment has incredible depth and breathtaking landscape visuals, with monsters lurking ominously in the background and stunning attention to detail on all the foreground elements. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is an ambitious sequel that is actually just not, if not more impressive, than the last. It's one of the most visually stunning games I've ever seen. It's a hard game to master, and I'll never appreciate so many autosave points before. Once you get the hang of it, it's one of the most rewarding and breathtaking journeys that's available in the platforming genre.
Or in the Blind Forest.
No, actually. No. Will of the Wisps.
Will of the Wisps.
Please.
Right, Blind Forest
was
the first one.
Did you listen to my review?
I did, but not well enough. Because you got to understand, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Ori. And when I say love-hate, I mean just mainly hate. Mm-hmm. Because my big issue with it was in the first one, as much as it was, and it was very pretty, and it was very evocative, and there was a lot of emotion behind it, the way the story wraps up, it just kind of negates everything. Yeah. And that kind of dragged me out
it's
of
all
it.
I disagree. I think that the parts of the game that were good, that you think are still good, are not negated by the ending. The ending, sure, is not a great ending, mm-hmm. but the rest of the game is still solid.
It's still fun, yeah.
They definitely took that on board, but my love-hate relationship is with it is because I suck at platforming games. Yeah. And it was, like, unrelentlessly tough. As I progressed, even in this game, it was savage, and it made me feel like crap a lot.
Because the new one takes a little bit, it's almost borderline Hollow Knight. Like, it's got a lot more combat, a lot more,
Will of the Wisps focuses mostly this time on combat and the complex mechanics behind the skill-based system and the passive skills.
Yeah, right.
So instead of it being a really simple pick-up-and-play platforming game, which Blind Forest absolutely was, this adds lots of layers.
Like it's a gamey game.
It's a gamey game, and it's really out there for the perfectionists, people that want to, you know, speed run through it. And there's actually, I think there's like a petition out there to bring it onto Switch already. People are frothing for it. It's definitely a precedent.
And that is the thing. So let's be real. I mean, so Cuphead obviously is on Switch. Phil Spencer's already said, hey, we're bros, man. Like, there's no beef here.
Totally.
And
word for word.
Yeah, and so it wouldn't be so, I wouldn't be surprised because it is a Switch game, like, for all intents and purposes.
Well, actually, Jack and I saw it at PAX. Was it PAX?
No, it was...
saw it at PAX.
What's the sponsored by JB Hi-Fi one?
MEO.
MEO. Yeah. That was in not 2019 or even 18. Oh, maybe it was 18.
It was 18.
So we saw it, like, was that 2 years ago, basically?
Yeah.
And it was hot garbage.
It wasn't polished.
Not polished. Yeah. And the combat felt really weird. Mm-hmm. Probably feels a bit better in Final Game.
I think the frame rate was a bit average. And to be honest, when I first saw it and first heard it was announced, I was like, what's it going to be more special than the first one? Is it just going to be a carbon copy? And I definitely think they've perfected it. I think there's a lot of value in this sequel. And I cried a whole bunch of times. I'm definitely not going to lie about that. It had all the feels in all the right times.
Because that is the question. Because when, you know, Bioshock 1 has a very similar thing. Bioshock 1 was such an experience and that last bit of the game was actually bad. Like, the gameplay itself wasn't great and the ending was awful. Bioshock 2 was a better game, but a kind of a lesser story. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that's kind of Will of the Wisp, but it seems to me like you at least got what you wanted out
that's
of the story.
That's correct. There was a lot of twists and turns. The story really delivered for me. I didn't actually mind it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, what about you, Jackie boy? Are you going to play it now, or...?
I mean, I think I'm going to do the cheeky get Xbox Live Gold into Ultimate to be able to get it.
Yeah.
Hashtag not sponsored content.
Absolutely not.
The Game Pass is so worth it.
Don't say it too loud. I'll make you redo a take.
Dude, I wish we got money for this. Yeah. But... I'm keen to check it out, not necessarily because I'm like, oh, I'm going to love it as much as the first one. If I wanted to do that, I'd just go back and play the first one.
Because
the definitive edition on PC actually added a bunch of content as well.
Right,
so that would actually be something new to me as well.
Yeah.
It's also been ages since the last game. So
that
would be worth getting into. But if anything, I'm keen to check it out, kind of like with Animal Crossing, change my mind. Not necessarily be as invested in, but just because I'm curious.
To be honest, it was like one of the more complex 2D platforming side-scroller games just due to the depth of the story and the combat itself.
There you go. Well, don't forget, Game Pass is great, and that's basically the takeaway from everything we've just said.
Thank you, Meg, Jack, and Jason for that insightful review and chit-chat of Ori and the Will of the Wisps. We are now coming to the end of our time on Zed Games. It has been another fantastic episode. So much happening in the news and, some fleshed out solid segments there. We try to do the best we can to produce quality content for everyone listening around Australia and in Brisbane. Before we go, I'd just like to mention that I was just looking up what's coming out new on Netflix shows that is worth watching in June, because it is cold, and even with the restrictions sort of relaxing a bit, I am very cold, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to stay home. But yeah, so I was like, well, what's going to happen on Netflix? And I'm pretty disappointed. There isn't really much. There is, however, Queer Eye Season 5. Down for Queer Eye. Bring that on. Karamo, yes, please. So Queer Eye, and other than that, I don't know, there isn't very much. There are some shows that there's a lot of new releases, like, ooh, check this out, original Netflix series, original documentaries, and so on. If you'd like to take a look at what Netflix series are coming out that may be related to you, or there is DC's Legends of Tomorrow Season 5 coming out this month as well. I haven't been following that. But there's also Pokemon Journeys, the series. So there's a few good stuff, but I'm mainly interested in Queer Eye. So yeah. Anyway, there's some interesting things for Netflix. You can check that out on the Zed Games Facebook page. I'll post a link in there with all the shows, documentaries, everything's coming out on Netflix at ZEDGamesAU. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you very much. Next week, I'm excited to say that there will be more than just my voice in this studio. Look forward to then. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU. See you next time.